Our text for this evening is the latter part of verse number 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3. That latter part, the verse 9 simply says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It goes without saying that we live in a day when people have all kinds of wrong views about God. And that happens whenever a nation rejects the Word of God and turns their back upon the Bible. Friends, if you and I are to have a right view of God, we must cleave to the Word of God. We must hold to the Bible. We must heed and hearken to what we find and read in the Word of God. And my one of the great truths that the Word of God sets before us about our God is this great fact, this great reality, that our God is a God of love. Yes, His love means that He is one who is merciful. He is patient. He is gracious, even, yes, with sinful men. And His love is such that it highlights God's unwillingness that men should perish in their sin. And my God's unwillingness that men should perish in their sin is set forth before us in the words of this text of Scripture tonight, where Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 in the verse 9, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In this chapter before us, Peter is writing to those in his day in particular who were saved. And he tells them that he wrote this epistle because there were those in his day who scoffed and mocked and laughed at the thought of the Lord's second coming again. Look at what he says about such in verses 3 and 4 of the chapter. He says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, a walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Well, despite the scoffing of sinful men, despite the ridicule of unbelieving hearts, Peter goes on here to set the truth very clear and very plain, that no matter what man says, no matter what man thinks, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. That His coming is sure, His coming is certain. Notice how He makes that clear in verse 10 of the chapter. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Oh, He makes it very clear that the Lord is coming. A day is set aside in the calendar of God. And the Lord will come in all His power and in all His glory. Come in judgment, yes, for the unsaved. But come to gather His saints home to be with Himself in glory and heaven. And my, it's in the midst of this wonderful message regarding the sure and certain return of Christ that Peter also highlights this great truth about God's great love to poor and needy sinners. And it is within that context that he mentions these words here in verse 9, where he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Oh, by such words here, Peter is saying that the Lord's second coming is delayed to God's appointed time. And my, this is due to God's long-suffering, to God's patience towards sinners. My, it is due to God's unwillingness, as it says in our text tonight, that men should perish and die in their sin. Friends, tonight for a little while it is this great subject, this solemn subject of God's unwillingness that men should perish that I want to consider with you this evening. Now, as we look at it, I trust that if you're here tonight and you're still not saved, as we consider what God's Word has to say, what God's Word has to say to your heart tonight, But even through the going forth of God's precious word, that you and your heart and soul would be made wise unto salvation. Notice first of all then with me the meaning of this truth, that God is not willing that any should perish. Our text simply says there in verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. And this means the Lord is not willing that any wicked person should die in their sin. He is not willing that any transgressor should reject His saving mercy. That means that He is not willing that any person should perish in hell because of their indifference and unbelief toward the gospel. That means that He's not willing that any should die without Christ because of procrastination, turning away from the call of God and the gospel, and that they should perish in a lost sinner's hell. If you turn back in your Bible to the Old Testament, back to Ezekiel chapter 33, and to the verse number 11, here again you will see how the Lord sets before you and I this very same truth. And in verse 11 of Ezekiel 33, the Lord is speaking through His servant Ezekiel, and He says this, "As I live, as saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Again, the thought there is coming through, that God is not willing that any should perish. Yes, you think of the words here in our text tonight when Peter speaks of the Lord and he says the Lord is not willing that any should perish. What he means is this, is that God does not rejoice. God does not delight in sinners perishing in their sin and going out into a lost eternity in hell. Surely it shows to us something of the wonderful nature of God. That God is a God of love, that God is a God of benevolence, yes, a God who is patient toward a sinful, a fallen man. Someone has once said, yes, God is patient because He is eternal, and that is true. And His patience with sinners is seen in the fact that, as it says here in our text, He is not willing that any should perish. Oh, unsaved friend, in our meeting tonight, realize this, that God has spared your life. God has kept you alive to this very point in time. For it is God who keeps you breathing. It is God who keeps you living. It is God who has brought you here to this gospel meeting again this evening in health and strength. And He has kept you alive to this very moment in time. Why? Because God has been long-suffering toward you. Because, as it says in our text, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. The second coming of Christ has not yet taken place. Why? Because God is not willing that you should perish in your sin and go down into a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible says, "And therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you." Oh, think of the patience of God, the long-suffering of God. And what does it show, my friend, to you who are unsaved? It shows you the graciousness, the love, the bounty of God toward your soul, does it not? Sometimes out of love, parents may delay in the chastening of their child whenever that child does wrong. Well, likewise, friend, realize this. God's judgment for your sin has been withheld. And God could have cut you off in your sin long ago. But that judgment has been withheld. That judgment has been stayed. Why? All because of this great truth that is set before your eyes in our text tonight. That the Lord is not willing that any should perish. His judgment has been stayed from you. It has been withheld from you. All because the Lord is not willing that you should perish in your sin and perish in your iniquity. Yes, we see the meaning of this great statement. But notice secondly tonight the evidence of this great truth that God is not willing that any should perish. What is the evidence of it? What is the proof of it? Well, we can say tonight that the loving character of God is proof and evidence of this truth, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Does not the Bible say that God is love? What a statement about God. Three simple words. God is love. The Apostle John could speak of God and he said this, we love Him because He first loved us. Friend, realize this truth tonight. The God of heaven with whom you and I have to do, the God of eternity, the God of creation, the great I Am, He is a God of love. Yes, the Word of God makes it very clear that God hates all sin. All sin is against God. And my holiness means that all sin must be punished. That all sin must be judged. Yet at the same time, His love is such that He loves sinners. Sinners like you and I in this gospel meeting tonight. In the Bible you read of a man called Saul of Tarsus. And how does the Bible describe Saul of Tarsus? It calls him the chief of sinners, the greatest of sinners, so to speak. Yet later on, when Paul was saved and writing to the church at Galatia, he could say this of Christ and of God, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, friend, realize this tonight, that the proof that God is not willing that any should perish is seen in this fact, this great truth, that God is a God of love. And my in His love, my God is a God who seeks after sinners. The Bible tells us of His Son, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Again, speaking of His love, the Apostle Paul said this, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, the hymn writer says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, he said, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Friend, realize this tonight, that God is not willing that you should perish in your sin. Why? Because of His great love towards you. How great is the love of God? How vast is the love of God? But then, you know, there's another proof, another evidence of this great truth, that God is not willing that any should perish. Yes, it's seen in His love, but it is also seen in the wonderful provision that God has made and provided for man's salvation. And why, that provision is by and through the sacrifice and the death of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the middle tree of Calvary. Turn with me back to John's Gospel and to the chapter number 3. And here in verses 14 to 17 of this great chapter, Christ is speaking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a man of the Pharisees, and He's speaking here of His great love, of the great provision in the sacrifice of Himself upon the cross for sinners. Look at what He says in verse 14 of John chapter 3. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. As you think of the cross tonight, as you think of Christ's finished work upon the cross of Calvary, when He suffered and bled and died, when He shed His blood out of the wounds of His hands, His feet, His side, His brow, His back. Oh, as you consider that great sacrifice tonight, my friend, there you see the wonderful provision of God. A loving provision, a merciful provision for the salvation of sinners like you and I in this gospel service tonight. What a sacrifice the sacrifice of Christ is. You know, during World War II, many thousands of British soldiers gave their lives to deliver our nation on our country from Nazi Germany. Well, God gave His Son, His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross. What for? To suffer and bleed and die for man's sin. Yes, because of His unwillingness to see sinners like you and I perish in our iniquity and our transgressions away from God. Friend, realize this tonight, unsaved, all that is needed for you to be saved. For you to be saved from your sin. All that is needed for you to be saved from a lost eternity in hell, to be right with God and to be sure of heaven, has been provided for you in that once for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. My, the word of God says, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. How might you be brought to God today? How might I be brought to God? How may every single one of us in this meeting, sinners by nature and sinners by practice, how can we be brought into God and into fellowship with God? Is it through our sacrifices? No. Is it through our money? No. Is it through our rites and ceremonies of religion? No. Friend, it is through the death of Christ, the just one, upon the cross of Calvary. Remember the message of John the Baptist to the Jews as they saw Christ coming. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How might your sin be taken away before God? How might my sin be blotted out before God? Through the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. Yes, the Bible says, by His own blood He obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, as you think of the cross tonight, think of the blood tonight, think of that sacrifice upon that cross of Calvary. Friend, here you see proof of this great truth that is stated in our text tonight, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Yes, His love shows it. God's provision for the salvation of sinners shows this great truth, but also His very word declares it. This is what we have before us here in our text tonight. This is the declaration of God's word. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, how can we argue with the word of God? It says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. God makes a very similar statement over in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. He says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Again, whenever Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to Timothy, he spake of God and he said, who will of all men to be saved? Again, it highlights this truth that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Oh, friend, God has promised, God has declared that He is unwilling that any should perish. My, He has made it clear and plain that He has no delight in seeing you perishing, going on in your sin, going on to a lost eternity in hell itself. My, His word is true. His word is certain. Yes, you may be ill or something not pleasant may have happened to you, and you may tell someone in this scene of time, and they may say, yes, well, I sympathize with you, and I share something of your burden. But you know, the words may just be mere lip service. There really may be no meaning behind it. But friend, the truth of the gospel is this. As you go on in your sin, as you go on step by step closer to the precipice of a lost eternity in hell, it grieves the heart of God. God is no delight. God is no joy. For He says here in our text tonight, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. But you know, there's further evidence tonight of this same great truth. Not only His love, not only His provision of salvation, not only the declaration of His word, but further evidence of this truth that God is not willing that any should perish is seen in His calls to the sinner to come to Christ and to trust Christ for salvation. You read through your Bible. Read it right through from Genesis to Revelation. Old Testament and New Testament. Time after time you've God calling out to sinners to repent, to come to Christ. Think of that lovely invitation of the Lord to the sinner at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. He says there, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins shall be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow." What an invite. Again, over in the New Testament, the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Right in the very last chapter of the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, again, God is calling, God is inviting, God is beckoning sinners to himself for salvation. Man, woman, young person, how many times have you heard the call of the gospel to flee from your sin, to repent of your sin, to come to Christ for salvation? Turn with me back, please, to Isaiah chapter 55. And look at these tremendous words here in verses 6 and 7 of the chapter. And look at what the Lord says. If you're not saved tonight, this is God's invitation to you. This is God's invitation time. He says in verse 6 of Isaiah 55, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God says, seek the Lord. That's what his word says. While he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. My, as God draws near to your heart and to your soul tonight, you're to seek him. You're to call upon him. Maybe you'll say, "I leave this invitation till tomorrow." How do you know you'll ever see the light of tomorrow? You see, the word of God says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The only moment that you are guaranteed is now. It is tonight. The word of God says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." It says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Tell me, how long have you heard this call? How long have you withstood this call? Every time God has called to your heart, to your soul, to seek him for salvation, it's but an evidence, it's but a proof, it's but a testimony of this great statement in our text tonight, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. The hymn writer says, "O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy brows. He called thee in sorrow and pain." Maybe the Lord has called you when you were young, yet you've went on. Maybe there's been pain, there's been sorrow, and the Lord has been calling you through these things, yet you've went on. Friend, do not turn your back upon the Lord. The Bible says, "He that been often reproved and hardened of his neck shall suddenly be destroyed." And not without remedy. Tomorrow we have to conduct a funeral service in our own church. Man, just 40 years of age, taken suddenly, Friday morning, out into God's eternity, left behind no testimony whatsoever of God's saving grace. We know not what a day may bring forth. Friend, heed the call of God and the gospel to your heart, to your soul tonight. Yes, we see the evidence of this truth. We see the meaning of this truth. But notice finally tonight just the response to this great truth that God is not willing that any should perish. Well, my friend, your response here as you think of these words, it should be one of hope. Here's a message of hope. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. These words mean hope for you tonight in this meeting who are still not saved.
My, these words mean that in your quest for salvation and in your quest for peace with God, you need not give up in despair. You need not give up hopeless. No matter who you are tonight, no matter what your sin is or has been, no matter what your background is, no matter how many times in the past you may have heard the gospel and rejected the gospel call to come to Christ for salvation, the statement of our text tonight means this. If you sincerely come tonight to Christ, just as you are, and ask the Lord to save your soul, praise God, He will save your soul. He will forgive your sins. Remember what our Lord says in John's Gospel, chapter 6. He says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You may have long withstood His calls, maybe 1,000 calls. Friend, if you turn tonight and seek the Lord and call upon Him, He will not turn you away. Here's a message of hope tonight for you. You think of those a few weeks ago, and that liner that was capsizing and sinking off the coast of Italy in the Mediterranean. And no doubt when folk saw lifeboats or life belts or life jackets, it meant hope for them that they would escape, that they would live, that they would not perish and drown in the sea. And they were rescued. Friend, this is a message of hope from God for you tonight who are unsaved. Yes, here's a message of hope. Your response should be one of hope. But friend, also your response should be one of repentance. Notice what our text goes on to say. It says, "For the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The thought here is that God will not allow those to perish who have repented of their sin. The thought here is that He will only save and show mercy to those who have repented of their sin. Friend, if you are not to perish, if you are to be saved, you must repent of your sin. You think of the words of Christ in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, twice over. Within a space of a few verses, He says in that great chapter, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Your responsibility is to repent of your sins. Remember the message of Peter in the day of Pentecost to the Jews. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Remember the message of the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles at Athens and Mars Hill. "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." My repentance means, yes, a change of mind regarding your sin. With this change, you turn to God, and in turning to God, you confess your sins to God and ask Him to save you and to cleanse you through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. That is how it was with the old publican, when he wouldn't lift up so much of his eyes, but smote his breast and simply cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was repenting of his sin, confessing his sin, asking the Lord to cleanse away his sin in the blood of Christ. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh friend, if your sins are to be forgiven, if the power and the bondage and dominion of sin in your life is to be broken, if the fetters are to be taken away, and if you're to be set free and sure of heaven's glory one day, then you must repent of your sins and believe the gospel. You see, the Word of God makes it very clear that where there is no repentance, there can be no salvation. If you do not repent of your sin, you will perish. No, there's no such thing as salvation by easy believism. There must be repentance. The Lord says, repent, repent, repent. Friend, in light of this great truth that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, He goes on to say that all should come to repentance. You, my friend, who are unsaved, God says you must come
to that place of repentance. You know, in light of this great statement also, my friend, your response must also be one of declaration. Praise God when the Lord saves you. What are you to do? You're to tell others. You're to tell others. Wee boy, just of 4 years of age, and our children's meeting the other Thursday night, got saved as well. And he came back last Thursday night, and the first thing he said to me going through the door was this: I got saved. Ask the Lord to be my Savior. And that wonderful confessing Christ. And friend, when you have trusted Christ as your Savior and called upon Him and know His pardon, His peace, His forgiveness, His salvation in your soul, what are you to do? You're to tell it abroad to others. Remember what Christ said to the demoniac of Gadara who was saved? He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord have done for thee. Maybe in recent times you've been converted. Maybe in recent times you've been saved, yet you've never told a soul. Friend, the Bible says you're to confess Christ with your mouth. You're to tell others about the Lord. Turn with me back, please, to Psalm number 66. Look at the great words of the psalmist David here in the verse number 16 of Psalm 66. He says there, come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I will declare what He hath done for my soul. When the light of God saving you from perishing in a lost sinner's hell, friend, what are you to do? You're to go out and to tell others what the Lord has done for your soul. Oh, friend, tonight unsaved, listen to our text. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Take this verse and apply it to your heart. Apply it to your soul this evening. The truth of the matter is, the Lord is not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to that place of repentance toward God, to that place of saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't save you. This church cannot save you. Anything of man or yourself cannot save you. But praise God tonight, the great message of the gospel is this. The Lord Jesus Christ can save your soul for time and for eternity. Friend, there's nothing more important than for you to be saved, to be right with God, to be saved from the judgment day, and to be ready and to be waiting for the coming again of Christ. The Bible says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Tell me, if Christ was to come back tonight, would you be ready? Would you be sure of heaven? Would you be sure of glory? The only way that you can be ready and can be sure is your sins dealt with, put away by the precious blood of Christ. Friends, step out tonight in the promise. Get under the blood and be saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ alone for all of God's great eternity. We're just going to bring our meeting tonight to a close.